Welcome to episode one of the Nash Country Cooks podcast. And it's Bill West. We join you today. I'm actually in Charleston, South Carolina, and on the line with me from Missouri is my good longtime friend, Kurt Parsons. And I'm switching the tables up a little bit, Kurt. Tell everybody where you are and what your story.
Yeah, so I'm in Sedalia, Missouri, directly across the street from the Missouri State Fairground. Yeah, and the radio station here. So, of course, we're looking forward to a big country lineup coming up this summer across the street.
So Kurt is a longtime country guy, along with me in Savannah, Georgia. And I'm turning the tables here. Since this is a brand new podcast, I was going to have you help me and you turn the tables and interview me about this podcast, because it's kind of awkward for me just to talk to myself. You know the country world, and of course, being right across the street from the fairgrounds, you even know a little bit of country cooking now.
Well, I do like to eat, so I'm qualified from that perspective for sure. But yeah, I think this will be fun. So this is a whole new podcast all about cooking as it relates to the country lifestyle.
Right. I'm involved with podcasting and radio and blogging about barbecue. And also then by day, I do this totally different thing. It's all radio. I also see a lot of these ties to country music and a lot of country artists doing books, all sorts of different people involved in cooking. And then there's this own kind of little category of food that is country cooking.
Yeah, and that's been going on for a while, too. I can remember back years ago, I'll never forget Tracy Bird's cookbook, because it was called Eat Like a Bird. And I thought that was just the greatest title. But Tricia, your wood ended up having a cooking show. And yeah, cooking and country go hand in hand.
So I've got some people lined up. Hicks Brooks has had a steak show. And now I've got some announcements coming up when I talk to him up on the podcast. Hopefully I can get Tricia on the podcast talking country music and country cooking. And Kimberly Schlattman of Little Big Town also has a cookbook and a cooking show. So some things lined up. I do have Kenny Rogers, though, on my list of cooking. We were talking offline. He came through Savannah when I was there. We were at a radio station. Were you there at that point? What do you remember from the Kenny Rogers episode?
I remember that was shortly before I joined you guys at the station there in Savannah. But I remember hearing about it. I remember that our afternoon guy, Big Mac, was telling me that Kenny Rogers was just the greatest guy there was. And he played live the song The Greatest, the song about the little boy with the baseball bat. A lot of people remember that. And I remember Big Mac saying that that was the first time he'd heard it, and he thought it was just a terrific song. And then also that Kenny's management told us beforehand, before the interview, whatever you do, don't ask about the chicken restaurant.
Well, I somewhere along the way, I'd been doing my research, working on a book. I found I guess it's a Kenny Rogers barbecue sauce chicken recipe, barbecue chicken. So it made me look up the chicken restaurant. And he apparently, according to the internet, there are still some Kenny Rogers roasters restaurants in the Far East.
Really? I thought they were extinct.
If you look up Kenny Rogers roasters right now, you'll find it has it on a map, like in Southeast Asia and one in California, but apparently it's wildly successful
in Southeast Asia.
Yes.
So Bill, you've been at podcasting and doing a lot of cooking things. Probably, I don't know, the one that I think about with you the most is barbecuetricks.com. And so, there's all kinds of great stuff on that website.
Yeah, so this podcast is coming about because I'd like to be able to do some of the, you know, the barbecue thing stuff that I've done has just been kind of on the side, kind of evolved just out of fun and as a hobby. And if there's a way to connect the dots and bring in some of the stuff I do during the day, it'll be a lot of fun. So hopefully that's what we can accomplish. The barbecue stuff started with a website probably 2007 and started blogging just little tips and tricks and kind of jumped into YouTube doing weekly videos and thought, yeah, let's throw a video up of how do you check the temperature of a turkey. And that stuff sits online, and YouTube has now grown into being the second largest search engine in the world. And all of a sudden, after a year, I look back and how to check the temperature on a turkey video. It has tens of thousands of views. Other videos just keep on growing. And so I added onto that, started doing a weekly video, and it really started growing some more with a friend of mine, Jack Waybor. Those things keep continuing to grow. I figured I'd try and connect the dots between all the videos and the barbecue stuff and just segue into cooking. And also something that I really like doing is kind of doing longer form interview kind of things with different guests. So that's kind of what we'll do week in, week out, and add to a library of cool stuff about cooking. Maybe it's going to be a country person every week, or maybe it'll be somebody who is a specialist in country fried steak or something. It'll probably be always a surprise, but hopefully be kind of cool to listen to for people who like food.
So is it going to be mostly tips and tricks, that type of thing?
It's going to be mostly long interviews about food, cooks, and people who have specialties. So I don't think it'll be short-form tricks. It'll be about the people who cook food.
Can you tell us a few people that you have lined up to appear at a later episode?
So coming up next release, and probably by the time people hear this, I'll probably actually end up having some of the episodes already loaded. I'm going to talk to, for episode one, Hicks Brooks from the multiple ACM-CMA Duo of the Year award-winning duo Brooks and Dunn. And Hicks Brooks is also on my radio station and many others as the host of American Country Countdown. And Hicks also had a very popular show on the Cooking Channel called Steak Out with Hicks Brooks. He has segued that success and has just announced he is going to be releasing a cookbook in the fall called Cooking It with Hicks. And I talked to him a little bit about what, one, about steak, because that ended up being what launched him into some of this food stuff. We talk about music, eating food on the road, and what the food life is like on the road when you're touring, and also about basically his food story, which ends up being a lot about Louisiana country cooking is actually the term he used, the country kitchen, and some of his specialties that he's going to be including in the book and some of the things that he likes to do in the backyard. I thought it was kind of cool. He actually said, you know, we talked to these guys on steak. I was asking him what makes a great steak to him, and he basically said, you know what, these guys, they're starting with the best of the best beef. So it's dry aged. It's super high quality. Some of these great steak houses don't do much as far as the seasoning. It's salt and pepper, and they start with great meat. I thought that was kind of interesting. And he's got some more that we'll share coming up in episode one. Episode after that will be Kimberly Schlappman from Little Big Town, who also has launched into a TV show on food. Her own TV show on the Cooking Channel and at GAC. And she also has not only a cookbook that's out, but also a line of like dishes and country ware at Cracker Barrel. So she is really super cool and has a lot to say about the food as well.
Yeah, Cracker Barrel loves country music too. Sometimes they have their own exclusive Cracker Barrel CDs, and they've been supporters of country music in a variety of ways for a while.
Even since talking about that, I saw that Kenny Rogers is doing his farewell tour, so I'm like, okay, I need to try and get Kenny Rogers on the podcast, because hopefully I can get him to talk about some of his food. But then you reminded me, back when they had Kenny Rogers and Big Mac had Kenny Rogers and Savannah in studio not to talk about the chicken?
They emphasized it, in fact. It wasn't just that they said it. They said it multiple times. And I think that what the issue was back then is that people were just kind of making fun of it because it was kind of a strange thing. It's not strange now, but back then to have, you know, a Kenny Rogers chicken place. And I think it was just like, that's what every smart aleck DJ wanted to talk about. So they were just trying to get away from that and get focused back on the music.
Yeah, see, it's funny. Your DJs, that's another reason I like the idea of doing this, because as a DJ, we talk, what, What's the average amount that we talk over the course of a four-hour show? 2 minutes?
Yeah, not a whole lot.
We don't get a lot of chance to elaborate on things. And sometimes if I catch myself talking about food and cooking on the radio station, which is basically country music focused, it just seems a little self-serving.
You know, something that's neat about you, Bill, and we should bring it up as we're kind of introducing you to the audience, is that you didn't go to culinary school or anything. You weren't a professional chef that just happened to end up on the radio. You were just a radio guy that likes food, and that kind of became your passion, and that's how you got involved with barbecue tricks and the various other things on the internet.
Yeah, so I kind of feel I'm a little awkward talking in terms of being much of an expert in anything, because it's like I try and record cool things, tips, tricks, and writing, blogging things down. But yeah, I don't have any formal training. I've got a brother-in-law who's really a chef. I talk to guys that do championship barbecue. There is a culinary school. I never went to culinary school. Well, and then we were in Savannah. I'm now in Charleston, two of the greatest food cities out there. So
oh, yeah.
I feel uncomfortable positioning myself as any sort of expert in culinary arts, but I do like talking to people about it. So again, that's like, to me, this is the kind of a cool outlet, because we can interview people about food and what they do, because there are plenty of certified experts out there.
Yeah, and you're going to talk about foods other than barbecue, as
absolutely.
You mentioned. I mean,
right.
It's going to be
and
everything,
allows me
right?
To do that, because yeah, there's all sorts of great food that also falls under the country food umbrella.
Yeah, yeah. You know, one thing that you mentioned when Kix Brooks was talking about steak and how it's just simple ingredients, and I think that's a lot of cooking and a lot of food, is if you start with good stuff, your product is, it comes out a lot better most times than not, more often than not, just with very simple things. I remember it was one of the early episodes of Trisha Yearwood's show on Food Network. It might have been the first one. She pointed out, this stuff is, these are recipes from my family that they've had for years. Basically, it's salt and pepper.
You know, the neat thing about all these shows, it's not as much about the recipes when it comes to some of these personalities as the stories they tell. And, people like Trisha more than they're writing down the actual recipes. So hopefully we can get some cool stories instead of behind the music, behind the food, behind
yeah,
the recipe.
Sure. Yeah, what are your favorite comfort foods, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I also think it would be interesting, back to the Kix Brooks story about, you mentioned the food journey as they're traveling around the country. I imagine that is a vastly different story when you're first starting out in country music and you're basically digging for change in your pocket to get something off the dollar menu, and then after you've made it and you have access to just about whatever you want.
Yeah, catering, and they've got... One thing they said that Kix was talking about was grilling, and it was oftentimes they would pull out a grill and like have him and Ronnie and some of the other stars on their opening acts on their tour just having a cookout. I'm like, that's the kind of dinner party you want to go to, a bunch of country stars, kicking back having a barbecue. So we'll kind of see what that would look like to them, or what looked like, and also ask all these guys, like, what kind of music's on their kitchen, barbecue, tailgate party playlist.
Well, it also helps us as fans to realize these guys are, and ladies, they're people too. They're doing the same stuff in their spare time, having barbecues, cookouts with their friends, just like we do. And can I give you a suggestion right off the bat, too?
Go for it.
I mean, if we're talking food and country music, you got to get Zach Brown on at some point.
You know what? Zach Brown is actually in town this weekend, and I'm trying. If not him, his chef, Rusty.
Yeah, I mean, the guy that made famous the phrase, eat and greet. I mean, that's just a natural.
Excellent. And he's got, and apparently he has a cookbook, too, and I haven't been able to really locate a copy of it. I've been to one of his eat and greets before, and it is a brilliant thing, because it's his opportunity to actually talk about some of the food that the recipes he has, and people get to. It seemed like a much more comfortable way for some of these artists to meet fans, instead of some of the meet and greets that you and I have been to over the years, where it's quick shake, hi, snap a quick picture, and you move on. So, yeah, I'd love to talk to Zach, and if not Zach, Chef Rusty, who is his guy on the road.
Yeah, and the other thing about Zach Brown, you know, he lost a pretty good amount of weight there, and I don't get that he has stopped enjoying life, you know, yeah. So I'd be interested to know his journey there, too.
All right, I'm jotting that one down. Yeah, again, people have suggestions. Do it in the reviews or the comments. We would love to get it. I'm always available, Bill, at barbecuetricks.com, and hopefully we'll have a book here soon.
Yeah, I was just getting to that. So you're working on a cookbook, target date Memorial Day, right?
Should be. So if you're listening to this after Memorial Day 2016, it's out on Amazon, and it features like a bunch of great sauce recipes. Some of the tricks and tips that I've been blogging about over the years at barbecuetricks.com. And in fact, you can find out about it. I will have all the links at barbecuetricks.com. And if you don't want to take the plunge and check out the book just yet, make sure you get the free cookbook that I have up there, barbecuetricks.com. Check out cookbook there, and we'll send you a free copy of a preview kind of a cookbook that I have called Sauces and Sides, which covers everything from different desserts, side items like rotisserie pineapple, some really cool stuff. A lot of cool pictures, a lot of great recipes as well. And, oh, you'd appreciate this. I have the official Chick-fil-A coleslaw recipe. They've discontinued the coleslaw Chick-fil-A. So I grabbed the recipe and put it in my sides and sauces free book that I put up, barbecuetricks.com.
Is that legal?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Just making sure, Bill.
With permission.
There's still time to bail out before Memorial Day if there's something questionable.
They discontinued it, but before they left, they gave us the recipe.
Got it. Neat. And that's at barbecuetricks.com. And we should tell people that barbecue tricks, you have like six different ways to spell barbecue. So if you just go with your gut and add tricks.com at the end, you should be able to find the site.
Exactly.
Yeah.
See? Keep trying to keep it easy.
It's not easy, though, is it? It's sometimes it's a little difficult. Do you tell in the cookbook how to take the temperature of the turkey, or is that a YouTube only thing?
You know what? That's a YouTube thing. I don't remember if I included it or not. But in short, it's you make sure you're using a good thermometer, a meat thermometer, and you go into the thickest part of the thigh of either the turkey or the chicken or anything. So you just want to get it away from a bone and do it. And actually, I use that as an example for videos. It was just such I use it because it was just a quick little 30 or 60 second thing, but it's a good example of what people use YouTube for.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't necessarily, and I think my success in some of the YouTube stuff, and I've got about over 22,000 subscribers at Barbecue Tricks, and it's funny, some of the country music stuff I have has millions, over a million views on a Justin Moore video and interview I've got, but I think some of the success there is just you hit what people are searching for.
Yep.
And in that case, I noticed all of a sudden a huge spike around Thanksgiving when people are searching for how to check the temperature of a turkey. And since then I've had other things and then just kind of grew on that. The nice thing is those videos sometimes grease the wheel and let people uncover some other little videos.
Sure.
So over the years I've tried to get a little bit more entertaining with those and put a little bit more content into them as far as structure and things like that. But I think it boils down to I've found a lot of people wanting to find just different tips about barbecue, whatever different angles. So, you know, the turkey thing probably ain't a great example of anything, but it's there. Definitely have a lot of other fun videos up there that that probably have a little bit more meat to them.
Yeah, and I know that you've grilled some odd objects or foods over the years too. I remember the banana episode What was that? It sounded terrible. it was a crab sandwich on a Krispy Kreme donut or something like that.
You know what? The Krispy Kreme grilled, I would say, is a surprisingly great thing to do on the grill. Shrimp salad may not be the best thing because that's pretty sweet. But the char on a Krispy Kreme, because of all the sugar on there, is really good.
Yeah, I can imagine the Krispy Kreme itself. It was the filling that I was questioning.
Yeah, I would probably, and it was okay. But a shrimp salad may be still a little sweet, but you could do a burger like that, and it is pretty good. We have done that before. We have had some fails on there. There's one episode on YouTube where we did pine needle shrimp, and I think we smiled at the end and said, you know, hey, give it a go. But I think, being honest, that was not very good.
The magic of TV.
I had a comment at the end like, yeah, kind of has that 2x4 taste, which was pretty much it. It tasted like a pine resin.
Well, at least they were trying it.
Yeah, well.
The audience was engaged in that one.
Yeah, well, it was a beautiful fire. But
that wasn't the goal, though.
The flavor was not there. But there's only a couple that really were kind of fails. As far as unusual stuff, you know, there's been a lot of other people that do some crazy stuff. My most popular video on YouTube is probably nearing a million views at this point. It was an event, which I really kind of liked doing on the street, almost documentary style things. And I went to an event called Bovanova, which has now been renamed to Bovanoche, just outside of Greenville, South Carolina. And this guy and a group has created this barnyard burn where they not only take like a bunch of chickens, bunch of, you know, goat, sheep, and then they get more exotic and do elk and things like more wild game. And to cap it off, do a whole steer butterflied on a giant rack, Brazilian style. So it's and it catches on fire in the middle of the cook, and you know they try and spray water on it, and they start a huge grease fire, and almost, you know, it's pretty spectacular. And a lot of people have watched that and continue. That's one of those videos that people watch, and it continues to get new viewers every single day. So if you are watching or listening to this right now, discovered it through the Bovanoche video, welcome. It's been one of the best. I love going out on the road. So if people hear of different cool exotic barbecue things, or at this point now country cooking things, let me know about them. BillBarbecueTricks.com.
Right place, right time with the camera on that one, huh?
Yeah, just, you know, that's a try and find some fun stuff.
Yeah, all right. Well, Bill, best of luck with the podcast, man. Excited about it. Can't wait to hear the interviews, and I think it's going to be fun.
So my question for you then, if I were to head to Missouri, best place to get a hot dog?
To get a hot dog? Well, Missouri's not known for its hot dogs. So, you know, if I tell you Sonic, it's depressing, right?
Yeah, right.
But, you know, if you come here, where we're at in Sedalia, of course, we're about an hour from Kansas City. So that's where you want to come and have some barbecue, right? That's the famous Kansas City barbecue.
Barbecue? What's their, what's the place, the place?
Here in Sedalia?
It can be, well, in Kansas City then.
In Kansas City, well, I was going to say, we've got some places in Kansas City, or in Sedalia too, but Kansas City, gosh, what is the place called? Because I just moved here, Bill. I haven't been there yet. But everybody tells me it's the best. And if you hadn't asked me, I could tell you.
Is that where they do the barbecue or the spaghetti? Or is that Cincinnati?
No, that's Cincinnati. You're thinking of Cincinnati. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
All right. Well.
So to answer your question, I am no help at all.
You don't have a personal favorite hot dog joint?
No.
It can be anywhere in the world.
No.
It doesn't have to be where you live now.
No, I really don't. You know, a couple summers ago, I went to Chicago, and I wanted one of the real Chicago hot dogs.
Yes.
And I couldn't find one.
What?
And so I left, and I ended up with one at the train station, which was okay. And then I just went back to Chicago 2 weekends ago and was on a trolley tour of the city. And the bus driver points out, hey, this guy with his hot dog cart here on the corner of the Field Museum, he has the best hot dogs in Chicago. And, of course, that was the entrance I didn't go in the last time that I was there. I went on the other side. So the whole time, he was just right out there. I'd looked all over the city. But now I know, Field Museum.
Did you never get that?
Yeah, I finally did.
Okay, you did get it from him?
Yeah.
Well, you know, another... So Chicago is kind of part of my food story, too. It doesn't necessarily spell out country cooking, but to me... I would say a Chicago-style hot dog is kind of part of my backstory as far as my fandom of food and my connection to food. In fact, I just went back to Chicago and reconnected a little bit. During my teens, I've always loved a Chicago-style hot dog, which is a very specific thing. And is really, I mean, I know where to get one here in Charleston, but a place called Scoogee's. But it's the same kind of thing here as it is there. You get a nice, probably a black poppy seed bun, a Vienna all beef with a skin hot dog, and the bright green kind of a relish, sweet relish on there, some sport peppers, which are like these little hot peppers that are on there, and that's pretty much it. Oh, and then it tops off, you got to have a little dash of celery salt on top.
Right, and the wedge of tomato.
Yeah, a little bit of that too.
Yeah.
So that's a, and I have, obviously that was one of my things back in the day. Part of my food story is, I would say, is, you know, making a Chicago-style hot dog. I worked for a while as one of my very first jobs helping on the line at Spiro's Deli, a Greek delicatessen in Glenview, Illinois, just in the suburbs of Chicago, and they are still there, just went there the other day. And, of course, they do have a good Chicago-style hot dog, but their claim to fame is a thing called the Bomber, which is an Italian beef. So good. But I worked there for a while, and they have a poor boy that is good, and they do the gyro. So I kind of got connected to food there first, and for years, a couple of years as a teen, worked there and loved it because it was just it was mainly a small family-run place. And now his son, Spiro Nestos, was the guy that ran it and was a great guy. Died a few years back, but his son is now running it, and the recipes taste the same. So one of my favorite places of all time to go to would be anybody go to Spiro's Deli and get a Bomber in Glenview, Illinois. And then since then, part of my food story, I've in my early days of radio, working, waiting tables at a Tex-Mex place that wood-fired fajitas makes a grill and cantina, and kind of grabbed some recipes there and got a love for Tex-Mex food. So that's kind of some of my connection to food. Then the barbecue connection came a lot later.
So are you enthusiastic about Chicago-style pizza as well?
Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
Yes.
Yeah, interestingly enough, I'm more enthusiastic about Chicago-style food than Missouri food. But, yeah, the Chicago pizza, that's hard to beat.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, I'm definitely Gino's East. We had my prom dinner at Gino's. It's, like, so good. They used to have Pizzeria Uno's, a chain, so I could kind of get connected and find it when I was down south. I believe the Pizzeria Uno chain is now gone, but a deep dish pizza done that way, yeah.
Yeah, they even had their pizzas in like a frozen variety in the stores for a while.
Yeah,
for frozen pizza, they were pretty good.
It's also something that's I've tried. It's really hard to match the good Chicago style at home. It's not. I mean, maybe the frozen ones you could probably heat up, but to try and make like the crust and the it's hard to match.
Well, it's kind of a complicated deal for.
And there's a couple places that do it differently, and they do it layers of, you know, like layers upon layers of sausage and stuff. But the crust in particular it's hard to get right.
Yeah, it's for a home cook. It's a little advanced.
Yeah. So yeah, that's a good point. Definitely Chicago style pizza is part of my DNA. The Chicago style hot dog, part of my DNA. And then with a little bit of Greek deli thrown in and Tex-Mex was the start of my food journey.
Well, part of the one of the things that they're somewhat famous for here in Missouri, at least in the northern part of the state, is the Made Right. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
No.
Okay, the Made Right is basically scrambled hamburger on a bun.
Scrambled hamburger on a bun.
Yeah, so you can see why I'm more enthusiastic about a Chicago dog or a Chicago pizza.
Yeah, they need to work on their food tradition.
Yeah, that's not the best. I mean, it's okay. It's fine. It's what it sounds like it is.
You know, it's funny. Kansas City, too, is considered the epicenter of barbecue to a lot of people because of KCBS,
right,
the Kansas City Barbecue Society, sanctioning. But, you know, not. I don't hear the specific names of restaurants at Kansas City. So do some homework and let me know which ones you find.
Now, here is something. I know we're getting long on time here, but here's something I just want to pick your brain, because I did not know that this was a regional thing until I saw it on America's Test Kitchen. Apparently, the pork steak is a St. Louis thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys do pork steaks?
From what I've heard, the pork steak is like sliced Boston butt. So it's super fatty steak, but I'm not sure. It's different than a pork chop, but it's like sliced Boston butt, so super fatty and quick cooked
and delicious, man. I mean,
so Kurt, appreciate you just taking some time, and again, everybody listening, we got some cool things planned on the podcast, and if you want to find out about me or more of the things that I do here, it's either at barbecuetricks.com, of course, or at the radio station. We are at Nash FM 969. And Kurt, where do we find you?
KXKX.com is right, where you'll find us down here in Missouri. Really appreciate it, Bill. It's been a lot of fun, and I wish you the best of luck with this new podcast.
Hey, that's it for the Nash Country Cooks Podcast, Episode 1. Next week, pretty cool, Kix Brooks from American Country Countdown on the radio, and he's got so many other food endeavors we cannot wait to tell you about. Until then, you can reach out to me anytime, bill@barbecuetricks.com or bill@nashfm969.com. And always, we would love for you to rate and comment in iTunes on this podcast, because it really helps grow things. In fact, over the next couple of weeks, a little bonus reason to give an honest review and rating, because we're going to be giving away some CD prize packs as well the next couple of weeks. So country fan, music fan, cookbook fan, we'll have a little something for everybody. We'll give the last words today from Lyle Lovett, famed Texas and country music singer-songwriter, who once said, quote, "Barbecue sauce is like a beautiful woman. If it's too sweet, it's bound to be hiding something."